I'll tell you what, it takes a lot of people to make that all happen. It takes a lot of people to make Upstreet happen. It takes a lot of people to make VBS happen. Monday night, we had, by Monday afternoon, we had the hotel up, and it's a lot of work to put the hotel up. There's staging behind there on top of the drum kit and the booth there, and it takes, to put that all together and then set that. So Monday night, a bunch of the fellas showed up, and we started at Tom Hortons, went all the way around to there, and all the way down here to the teepees in an hour and a half. We had a good team together there, and so that was really helpful there. And then one of our fellows, he built the wagon for us last year. We used it. It took him a whole day, him and another guy, to just put it all back together. And then, of course, we have the stagecoach back there. We got all kinds of fun things. And if you're a part of this VBS this year, if you volunteered in some capacity or will be helping in VBS this year, could you just stand for a moment? We want to thank you. If you're going to be working in VBS this year, don't be shy, okay? Thank you so very much. We couldn't do it without them. It really does take a team of people to make this all happen. If your kids want to be a part of the music team here, I'll just let you know what we do there is we have practice on Wednesday nights. We go through this. We have a devotional thought. We do some prayer requests. And then we go from there. We go to doing the music. And then they get a snack. If I'm lucky, there's enough leftovers for me, so I can have one. But it's a great time for our kids to learn how to serve, how to sing. Some of you really need some help. It's really not hard. Wisdom is like this, okay? Strong, Adam, I'm looking at you. Okay, we go down, we come up. I mean, we're going to have remedial song leading next week, okay, for all of you. Today, we're talking about some different things with the family. This is a family VBS Sunday, okay? The family is so important. It's integral to the church, okay, to society. And as the family goes, so does society go. They work hand in hand. And the family... As we talk about missed opportunities in the family today, one of the things that we want to talk about, maybe I need to turn it on, that might help, is the family and the culture war. And I was sharing in the 8 o'clock service, I'm sorry, I'm just gonna set this down for a moment, over there with the horses. At least you don't have to feed those. I was sharing at the 8 o'clock service that our family is under attack and it's being decimated. It's really being torn apart. And there's lots of factors to that. And I don't, like I said to the 8 o'clock, I don't have any research to support what I'm about to share with you. All I have is just years of observation of watching it being torn apart. When I say torn apart, it's just in constant battle with our culture. Now, I'm old enough, and some of you aren't old enough, but Glenn Wilson's old enough for everything. He was there when Moses got the law. But for some of you, this will make sense. Some of you won't. They're called the Blue Laws. And back in the day, the family was very, very important, and our politicians protected Sundays as a day of rest, as a day for families. And I can remember, if you didn't have a gallon of milk or gas in your tank, you weren't getting it on a Sunday. You weren't going to Hannaford's to get that bag of burger buns because someone else decided to stop in. They were all closed. Everything was closed. And Sundays were held as in a sacred manner, a day of rest. People believed in God. They believed the Bible to be true. And I grew up in this. And what would happen on a Sunday, my mom and dad would invite my grandparents over, my man and Pepe over for lunch. Mom would call, "Why don't you come for lunch?" My dad go pick them up. So she'd go get them, bring them over. We'd have lunch together. And eventually around 2 o'clock maybe, some of the aunts and uncles would start showing up with the cousins. And they bring their little jar of pennies and they play penny poker. That's what happened in our house. And then the cousins would play. And that was family. That was community. And we had those relationships. And then what happened is 2-3 weeks later, it was at another aunt's house. And this just happened. And we lived in a small community. And we would do life like this together. But then in the 80s, we began to see the blue laws being taken away, repealed. And what happened is the store said, we're going to open from Thanksgiving to Christmas from noon to 6 to help people be able to get their Christmas shopping done. Well, over time, that stopped. There was no more of that. It was just Sunday just became another day. And it was filled with things to do. And even today, we fight this, how do I keep my family, together? What do I do? How do I manage all the responsibilities I have? And I say it all the time, parenting isn't for sissies. If you care about your kids or having a family, it's not for sissies. You have to be in. We're going to give you 3 principles that you need to implement into your family life, into your daily life, into your life, in order for us to stay and fight against the culture. You know, the chosen, I don't care how you feel about it, but they're, some people love it, some people hate it, some people are indifferent to it, but their logo is incredible because all it is a bunch of fish and 2 or 3 are swimming against the current. So what we're talking about today is swimming against the current of the culture today. Doing this is a counterculture. As a counselor, we used to do an intake, and one of the things I would get in the intake is, is your family hyper-religious? And that was seen as a negative. So taking your kids to church and bringing them to Sunday school and up street and doing Awana was perceived as being a negative quality in our secular world today. And as a counselor, I see all kinds of different things, and I wish you could hear it, but one of the things I hear on a regular basis is how the family does not function well today. And I don't just see church people, I see secular people as well, and it doesn't matter if it's the church or that. The family is under attack. But God gives us some things, and we're going to look at them today out of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And, typically I'm just speaking to the kids, but, this is a family Sunday, and we're planning something here in the future. Pastor Adam will be sharing that in a few moments, but I want to take you to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Okay? And if you would open your Bible, or you can read along with me, Moses writes, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Now, this isn't emphasized in the Bible, but I did because I think it's important so that your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you. And so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Excuse me. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And so God tells us that here's some commands I'm going to give you. And I want you to teach them to, one, for you to obey, but also you, your children and your children's children, your grandchildren. that they learn these things. They learn the principles to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. I want you to teach them. I want you to teach them day and night. Talk about them at the dinner table. Talk about them when you're in the car driving. Talk about them on the way to the game. Talk about them on the way back for the game. All of these things. He says, this is not a suggestion. This is a command that you do this, so that we can teach the future generations. Remember, in the Old Testament, God would tell them to make a pillar, a reminder. And there's one place where it says to teach the next generation what God did here. And so over and over, we're commanded by God to teach others. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. To teach our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So as we look at this Family Sunday and we look at these kids here, it's our responsibility to teach them. It is not my responsibility to teach your children or your grandchildren. I will be like Aaron and Hur, who will come alongside of you and help you to supplement what you're trying to do. But I would only have your children for 1 hour a week. I can't parent your children or your grandchildren. That is up to you to do that. But we want to help you. Crosspoint, the pastors, the people, the leadership, when you do baby dedication and we say we're going to partner with you, we mean that. But you have them. Far more time out of 168 hours a week, I get them for an hour and 15 minutes. Our team does. So you've got to be the person that parents them children and teaches them day and night. And we want to help you do that. So when people come into my office, oftentimes they share their problems with me, and then I share some things with them. They say, well, how do I do that? How do I overcome that? Like anxiety. Who struggles with anxiety besides me? Anybody? I have, you know, sometimes, like today, will everything go right? Will the clicker work? Or will I remember to turn it on? Those kinds of things. So again, it's not our job. It's God. It's your job. So as we talk about this, about parenting and family and making family a key part to our daily life, you know, sadly, most people don't even eat dinner together anymore. They don't even sit around the kitchen table and eat dinner. They eat in front of the TV. And when they come in, they just grab something and it's so by chance. So those families that when I hear that they eat dinner together, I applaud them because that's so important to do. But if we look at the story of Nicodemus, Nicodemus is he's a religious leader. He's a teacher of teachers. He's really smart in the law. And of course, we know that he goes to Jesus in the night in John chapter 3. And he says to Jesus, we know that you're of God because of the things you're doing, the miracles you're performing. And he says, how do you do that? And of course, we know Jesus says to him, you must be born again. How can I be born again? Can I go back into my mother's? No, you can't do that. You need to be born of the spirit and of the flesh, of the water. And so Nicodemus listens to him, and Jesus invites him to be a part of the team, to follow me. And Nicodemus, for some reason, we don't know because we don't have a complete narrative, he doesn't do it. He doesn't follow him. We don't know why. Maybe he was afraid. Maybe he'd have to give up too much. Maybe, who knows? One day, we'll ask him. We'll ask Nicodemus, why didn't you follow? Maybe he was too much pressure from his wife. The Chosen does a great job with this whole scene, too. Well, then, we don't read about Nicodemus until chapter 19 of John. And there he is with Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea has come down. He's asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. He says yes. And if we were to read the passage, Nicodemus brings 75 pounds of ointments and aloes and perfumes to prepare Jesus for his burial. And the two of them, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they do this. But my point is what happened between A and B? How many opportunities did Nicodemus miss on to do something with his family, with his kids, for the Lord or for himself? How many missed opportunities? So if we're going to talk about discipleship for our families and creating an environment of worship and growth and spiritual growth for our families, we have to be opportunistic. We have to be looking for those opportunities to do so. And if we don't take those times, those opportunities when they arise, you miss the boat sometimes. And they're sometimes very, very small. I mean, Rosemary just driving home one day, going home, leaving church. God, can you give us a pot roast for $10? Because everything is so expensive. She goes to Hannaford. The last one she looks at is $10. You've got to take that blessing and share that with your children. Look what God did. Share that with your grandchildren. That's taking advantage of the opportunity that God has blessed you with. Or it could be something in discipline or something else, or an event that happened to you in your life that you can share with your children or with your grandchildren to teach them that, listen, serving God is a good thing. You know, I'm going to get a little bit of, I missed it the first service, but I've made another observation. The kids, let me ask you, moms, dads, grandparents, how many of you want your kids to be in church once they grow up and they turn 18? We all do. Here's my observation. The kids that have stayed in church after they've turned 18, the parents found the balance. Balance is very important between law, rules, and grace. You need rules so that they know where the boundaries are, but you need to let them make decisions for themselves so they can make mistakes and learn, and they grow. Second, the parents, their belief system, their relationship with the Lord has to be real. It has to be real. It can't just be a Sunday thing. It has to be every day of the week. They have to watch you fight with God, wrestle with God, celebrate God. When you make a mistake, get up and continue on and serve. Those two things are critical to your kids staying in church once they get older. If you're just playing church on Sunday for 3 hours, whatever it is, your kids will see it and will say, why would I want that? Okay, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But you need to take the opportunities. You are being given an opportunity right now to teach your family. Because when you leave here and you sit at lunch, you can talk about what we talked about with your kids, your grandkids, and share with them what you've learned and how maybe your thought process is challenged. Listen, I don't have all the answers. And even if you disagree with me, that's okay. We can have a conversation. But if it's not real, it won't be real for them. You have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to look at creation. Go somewhere. It may be in a disciplinary. It may be something else, but look for the opportunity. You might be watching a movie, Polar Express. Did you ever ask your kids why the kid sits in the back of the train all by himself? Why does that little boy sit in the back of the train all by himself in that movie? I never noticed it, never thought about it. You have to look also, not for just the opportunities. Sometimes you have to create them. As a counselor, I had to read about these guys, Albert Bandura. He produced the theory of learning called social learning theory. And then Lev Vygotsky, a Russian psychologist, he created the theory of learning called scaffolding. These are probably the two of my favorite people that, when it talks about learning, how kids people learn, how kids learn. And this is where we get the phrase modeling from. And so this becomes very important as we model behavior for them. And I'm going to, you know, social theory of learning, Bandura believes that kids can learn not just through instruction, by observation. And one of the things our kids are doing, and I'm reading another book called The Anxious Generation. I would highly recommend you read that. Because in 2010, with the invention of the smartphone, we see a spike in kids with depression and anxiety. It just goes, 2010, it just goes off the chart. Because of the pressure that the kids feel. They don't know how to act socially. So many of our kids don't know how to even hold a conversation. I asked someone the other day, how was your birthday? And she looked at me and said nothing. I says, how was your birthday? That's actually a very personal question. That's none of your business. That's just a general question you would ask anybody. Did you have a nice birthday? And she has no social skills. Zero. And I see this all the time in our young people because they don't have to anymore. And parents don't have them as well. And I don't mean to be so negative, but I just see it. I see it. And so this is very important that we model good behavior for them. We model beliefs, our beliefs before them. They see us praying for them. They see you reading your Bible so that they can see that that's important to do. We take an offering every Sunday upstairs. Why? We want to model for them the behavior that an offering is what you do on Sunday. It's part of our worship. We model behavior. And we need to model those behaviors for our kids and our grandkids. If you model negative behaviors, guess what they're going to do? If you leave here and you walk out and you get in your car and your kids are in the back and you say, oh, Pastor Gary, he's just a relic. He's a dinosaur. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Guess what your kids are going to do? The same thing. Now, here's the thing. This is going to step on your toes, and I'm not sorry. If you don't serve in your church, why would your kids serve? Well, I don't like that. You don't know my schedule. Well, we all have the same 24 hours. If you don't give, why won't your kids give? Because the principle is monkey see, monkey do. So the behaviors you engage in will be the same behaviors until they make a decision to change that behavior. But if you want your kids to serve in the church, then you need to serve. What were you, 12 years old, setting up the nursery in Pennsylvania? It's just what we did. And she knew, and she would set the nursery up, 12 years old. Why? Because mom and dad are setting up the church with the boys. Every Sunday morning, lugging all the stuff out of the house, putting it in the back of the van, driving to the church, setting it all up. It's just what we did. We all served together. And we use verbiage like this. We go through it and do it as a family. That was the verbiage we use. We had a difficulty. She has brain surgery. We go through it as a family. Faith is born with Down syndrome. We go through it as a family. You're going to move from Florida to back to Maine. We're going to go through it as a family. And that's how we raised our kids. That's how we did life for us. I'm not saying it was always perfect. Listen, I made many mistakes, and I don't want to even start talking about them. But you need to model godly behavior. If not, your family is going to learn the wrong things. It has to be rooted in what God's Word says. It has to be, because God's Word is true. It doesn't change. It's never different. I mean, always the same. Always. God's word doesn't change. Not one jot, not one tittle. You know, sometimes I see people in my office, and it doesn't matter if they're saved or not. And just the thought process, I'm not going to forgive my mom. Why? Because until she shows remorse. This is a true story. Horrific childhood. I'm not going to do it. Because she will show remorse. Well, what about be tenderhearted, forgiving one another as Christ hath forgiven you? That verse doesn't change just because your mom gave you a hard time. And if you had kids, what would that teach your other kids? How to hold a grudge. How not to show forgiveness. That would be counter to what God's word teaches us. If we can't model godly behavior, then how are our kids going to do godly behavior? How are our families going to do it? So these things are important that we do this, because monkey see, monkey do. I love missions. I love missions. I've taken Stephen to Nepal with me. I've taken James to Nepal with me. I've taken Matt to Nepal with me. I'm not going to take my daughter to Nepal until she does what I ask her to do at home. There's some things that she's got to take care of, and then maybe I'll take her. But who wants to go to Tanzania this year? My son and two of his kids. Why? Because they saw something that was important in my life. Monkey see, monkey do. And I don't always get it perfect, believe me. Abraham and Isaac, here's your biblical example of that. Where's the ram? Oh, don't worry, God will provide. Well, how did Isaac know we needed a ram? And how did that all happen? He knew he had seen this behavior before to worship. Abraham modeled that behavior. Abraham modeled it. Where is the ram? And then you have to be intentional. 2 Timothy 1:5 reads, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. You have to be intentional. You have to. You can't just why would you risk your children to the devil? Why would you do that? If we believe, excuse me, Scott, I'm sorry if I go out of frame, but if we believe this book, and it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. Ephesians chapter 6, right? If he can divide your family, he wins. If he divides your family, he wins. The devil wins, not God. Why would you leave it to chance? Why would you do that? It's awful quiet in here. I don't even hear anything. Why would you, Amanda, leave it to chance? Well, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. We'll get around to it. Eunice and Lois didn't leave him to chance. They were intentional in teaching them the word of God, teaching Timothy. And you must be intentional. And sometimes you're going to fight against that biggest demon, which is in the back up against the wall. And it says 10:28:48 right now. Oh, I got 2 minutes left to get as much into you as I can. My heart. I love your kids. I would do anything for them. I would do anything. I'd go to jail for them. But I can't do it for you. Anybody hurts your kids, I'm telling you. Rosemary gets mad at me if I say this, but I'm not going to say it. I get really angry. Anybody hurts Peter Pumpkin Eater? Sawyer, my pal, Sawyer comes in my office. Can I have a pop? It doesn't get any better than that. Oh, can I have one for Aja too? It doesn't get any better. I mean, all of it. To watch them here, the things they do, the things they say. Many of you are doing a fantastic job. Fantastic job raising your kids. Really good. But I know I can do better. I think we all can do better, can't we? It's doing it. Now, I'm going to pick on my friend for a minute. I get a lot of kids that are so anxious today, so afraid. What will someone think of them? How will they be? Some things are caught and not taught. You've got to be okay with yourself as a parent. So, Adam, Wisdom, Alicia, all of us. If you're afraid to engage, they'll be afraid to engage. Goes along with all of these things. Okay? So today's Monday. If you're a volunteer, I'm going to share it at the 11:30 meeting too, though. When we're singing, we just want you to just get with them kids and do it too. Because the more you do it, the more they will. And they'll learn that it's okay to be silly. It'll be okay. Now, just a couple more things. All my philosophy towards ministry is grounded and rooted in those methods. July 6th, we're going to the veterans home with your children. We want you and your children to come together. Why? So it's a family what? Experience. You are building a memory, a thing that they can lock onto. Do you remember? All of this is a memory for you and your children. Do you remember the VBSs that we used to have 20 years from now? And Abby's talking about, you remember the VBSs? Pastor Gary had all that stuff and the team. You remember that? It's intentional. Pinewood Derby race, Tyler cheats. We've discovered that. And we decorate it to the hilt, if you've never seen it. We do lunch together. That's intentional. Why? To build and pour into each other. Relationships are built and kids get to learn to serve together and do things. And you do it as a what? A family. All of these things are done so that it would help you and your family. Because the devil wants to destroy your home. All of this is so that you and your family can grow closer to the Lord. Here's the theme. We're confronting worldliness. Really good theme. That's something we need to address as a church and as a family. Last thought. As we were watching this the other night, Call a Midwife, I don't know if you've seen it. We've enjoyed it. We enjoy it because there's no cussing on it. And the language is good. The costumes are really good. It's back in the early 60s. And Sister Monica Joan, she said this to one of the ladies who was struggling. And she said, the hands of the Almighty are often found on the ends of our own arms. We can't do this alone either, your children. We need staff in Wombaland. We need help. We need help in Upstreet. Kevin and Krista Todd, faithful to an unbelievable 11 o'clock service for years. Well, Brendan's transitioning. They want to transition. I need people. Help. I mean, not all your kids sit as quiet as they are right now. Sometimes they're pretty rambunctious, aren't they, Amanda? We need help. Can't do it alone. So think about it. Help us. We'd love to have you as a part of the team. Okay? We love you. I love you. We got something that we're excited about sharing with you. Pastor Adam's going to come, and he's going to share that with you. But just a couple things as we get ready. Pray for VBS. Pray for the staff, the workers, that we'd keep with the energy. And again, if you want to help, we'd love to have you. How many of you can count to 10? Count pennies in the back. Last year, we raised $4,600 in pennies in 4 days. Okay? That's amazing. To help the Mansion Church buy a washer and dryer. This year, we're raising money to send kids in China to camp. That's what we're raising money for. This year will be a first of firsts. The boys are going to win. And Amanda Young is going to finally get pied in the face. Okay? Come, even if you don't want to serve, just come sit in the back and watch. Because it's going to be who? How many of you know Travis Pelletier? Can you grab me one of the horses behind the thing, Margaret? One of the bouncy ones? Okay, just don't tell on him. Don't tell him, okay? He doesn't know it yet. But the stagecoach comes in first. And we got two horses, and Travis is going to be on one of these, bouncing down the center aisle. How funny is that going to be? I mean, him and Clayton coming down and carrying the stagecoach down. And how hysterical. Pin the tooth on Toothless Tim. How hysterical. And this guy, you look like somebody else I know.
I do?
You do.
Huh.
Magnifying glass, bowler hat, trench coat.
No, that doesn't sound familiar. So
that guy, Inspector Upstreet, all he wants to do is make me and Pickle Pete laugh at the most inopportune time. That's Inspector Upstreet's goal. We do this, all of this, and we got the greatest staff. I mean, we got two pastors in character who don't care what people think or say. They don't care. They don't care. They wouldn't let me wear my Woody costume today. They said, nope. So it's like wearing something you're allergic to, the shirt. Okay? Pastor Adam, share what we're doing, what we're working on.
Yeah, going off of everything that Pastor Gary has shared this morning, I think the burden of our church, at least for our staff, is that we know that there are so many families out there nowadays. You can look at the statistics of families after the age of 18, when they go off and live in their own world, that they have fallen away from the Lord, that they leave the church, they leave everything behind. And it's one of our greatest burdens of how do we help that? Obviously, Pastor Gary has shared that the primary disciple makers, the ones that form Christian formation, will be the parents and the grandparents. Mm-hmm. It's going to be them that do it. But as a church, we want to come alongside you and help you. Because I think for many of us, we think, well, that's great, Pastor Gary. You know, I know I should do it, but how? How in the world do I even do this thing? And so one of the things that Pastor Colby has been working on behind the scenes is what we're going to be calling the parent path. It's a class that we'll do before child dedications, but really we'll have it on a routine basis where anybody can come. And really it's to share a vision for all of us of what it's like to parent or even grandparent in this world and how really the practicalities of how to do it. And so we're going to go through this vision of really three things. One, incorporating time. We need to invest in our children and our grandchildren. We need to be intentional, as you're talking about the time that we have. How do we utilize the time in our week? Because you know what? Our careers get in the way. Our lives get in the way. Sometimes our discipleship of our children just goes to the sidelines. That shouldn't be the case because they're our primary importance. They're our greatest investment that God has given us. Time, and then as you had shared as well, moments, capitalizing on these random moments that happen throughout life, how to have spiritual conversations with your kids and grandkids. And then there's milestones, there's these key changes throughout life that each of your kids have, from elementary years to the middle school years, the high school years. How do I disciple them in these moments, and we want to implement these milestones as a church going forward. And so we're excited about this. We're going to have the first one happen on July 20th. We'll share more details over the next few weeks. But I'll say this too, even if you're not a parent in the room, if you're a grandparent, you might not even have kids yet. You might be married but not have kids yet. You might be a teenager. Listen, I think if you're already a parent, you're probably, and you haven't thought through these things, you're probably behind the eight ball, honestly. This is the perfect time. Now is the perfect time to start thinking about these things and practically, intentionally thinking through how I'm going to apply it. So we hope you can come July 20th. We'd love to see you there. All right, Pastor Gary.
Amen.